To be back here, thanks for inviting me again. It's lovely to come back to your roots and to see all the good things that are going on here. And this morning, I hope I'm going to keep things fairly simple. And there's lots and lots of things that could be said about this passage, but I'm just going to hopefully focus in on just a couple of simple thoughts. And hopefully there'll be a few slides, and then we'll finish by watching a little video as a bit of reflection. But Acts, I was listening to something the other day, and they believe Acts is written by Luke, author of the Gospel of Luke also. And he was a doctor, and very careful in how he went about writing down his two books. But they said, if you added together all the chapters that he wrote, it actually accounts for more of the New Testament than any other writer. So it's interesting, isn't it? You can go to church every week for your whole life, and there's still so many new things to realise and discover. And certainly Luke, as an author of more of the New Testament than anybody else, wasn't necessarily in my mind. But he travelled around with Paul, who many of you will know a little bit about his story. And he was there with Paul right at the end of his life. And Paul said in 2 Timothy, I think, only Luke was left with him. So he was obviously extremely dedicated to Paul as a friend and companion, I'm sure, but also in his role as writing down so many good and important things for us to learn about today. Acts is the only book, really, I suppose, in the New Testament that chronologically goes through what happens with the early church. So we've got loads of letters and a few gospel accounts of Jesus' life, but this is the only book, really, that goes through what happens with the early church. So it's a fascinating book from that point of view. And there's tons of amazing adventures in it. Those disciples that followed Jesus, and those that came to know Jesus after his death, resurrection, and then ascension into heaven, got into some amazing adventures. So I do encourage you to read through this book. I think you'll be looking at some of the stories in it over the next few weeks. But it's quite an exciting read in lots of ways, and it will give you a really good insight into the early church. But there are certainly highs as well as lows. People are rescued from prison and released from captivity, spiritual oppression. But also people are put into prison and tortured for their belief as well. People give things away sacrificially to support those in need. And people are even struck down dead when they do some outrageous deception of God. So there's some really quite dramatic stories in it. And as I was looking at this introduction, I really felt totally inadequate to be speaking about these things. And I'm sure many of us can feel like that, because I haven't lived a similarly adventurous life where we've seen all these dramatic things. I'm sure many of you have seen some of those things happen throughout your experience, but that's not really my story. But I wanted to assure us all, really, myself included, that actually in Luke, the first half of Luke's writings, you know, Jesus makes it very clear that God did not send Jesus to make those of us who already feel inadequate feel bad about it. You know, to those who are in need, God is the provider. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And when we come knowing our inadequacies, well, then God is able to do amazing things in us and through us. The religious people were the people that got the worst end of what Jesus had to say. Those who thought that just because where they were born, where they were from, who their parents were, that they were entitled to God's blessing, and that it didn't really matter how they lived, but they were just interested in looking good in front of people. To them, Jesus had some pretty stern words. But in Luke, we get the story of the prodigal son, that amazing story of God welcoming back those people who know that they need him, not because they're worthy, but because God is gracious. And that's an amazing thing to remember. So I hope this morning I can speak as a fellow traveller on the journey rather than as an expert guide. And I know that God can use any of us if we give him that freedom. I don't know if we've got any slides able to come up on the screen. That'd be helpful if we do. I put a question. I don't know, hands up if you're on Facebook. Let's take a little poll here this morning. I know it crosses the generation these days. It's not just a young person's thing. But I put a note on Facebook this week. Asked the question, what do you need more of in your life? And I didn't know if people would respond particularly. I gave a little hint that it was for a little project, as in this morning. And loads of people replied. It was really interesting. Lots of people put time. One person was brave and said cash, a bit more honest maybe. Some people said space or organisation. One friend from work put first edition Beatles albums on original vinyl. That's what he thought he more. Somebody said, God, do I get the prize? Because he obviously thought that was the answer that I was going to talk about. But what do we need more of? Sometimes I think we can get caught up with knowledge as something that we need more of. We need more knowledge, we need more understanding about things, whether that be the Bible or education or in life. Sometimes we think we need more strategies and we need to know how to apply that knowledge more effectively so that we can get I'm trying not to be distracted by what's going on behind me. Just ignore it, that's fine. We need more strategies. Wisdom, people often say, don't they? Well, Solomon had one chance to ask for anything in the Old Testament, and he chose wisdom, and then riches and lots of other things came to him as well, and that's often seen as the sort of right answer, wisdom, and then everything else will fall into place. But I wonder if this morning what we need more of is the Holy Spirit. And I was really struck, actually, by some of the things that Jesus said about what we needed. What is it that takes the ordinary things and turns it into something extraordinary? Is Jesus enough? Now, in lots of ways, Jesus is enough. Jesus is all we need. But actually, Jesus said something quite incredible. He said, actually, it's better for you if I go away. These disciples had been with Jesus for a few years. They'd seen his amazing things. They'd followed him. They'd learned from him. And yet, even in this story, we see they haven't really understood what God's plans and purposes are. There they are saying, right, is it going to happen right now? Is this going to be the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And they're still really thinking about a new king like David coming, a new Messiah sort of political approach to God's kingdom where the Romans are going to get kicked out and the power's going to come back to the people of Israel. That's how I read it anyway. And Jesus, you know, doesn't correct them too much, but he does say to them, wait. Don't take all this learning, all this knowledge, all the things that you've seen over these last few years of following me around, because actually that is not enough. And just knowledge of Jesus is not enough. Just even having Jesus with us physically, even if we were one of the first disciples, and we got to actually see Jesus and walk with him and talk with him and ask him those questions and hear the stories firsthand and hear the explanations. Jesus even is saying to them, that is not enough. You need to wait. You need to wait because I'm going to do something. I'm going to give you something which is even more incredible than the few years that you've got to spend with me. And I think that is something that is, well, it changed the way I thought about things, actually, in terms of, yes, of course, without understanding Jesus and why he died for us and why he rose again, then we cannot understand what it means to know God and to follow God. But actually, that knowledge in itself, it isn't enough. Jesus told them, don't try this at home. You need to wait. You need to wait until I, by my Holy Spirit, who is fully God, the third person of the Trinity, and that's a whole series in itself to understand that, but that the person of the Holy Spirit can actually empower us and live within us. As you read on, you might think, okay, so what did it look like when the Holy Spirit came? How did that enable them to live for Jesus? Was it just constant victory then? They're now full of the Holy Spirit. Was it endless joy and freedom and hope and love and all those amazing things that we know that the Holy Spirit can provide? Is that what we read about, just story after story of people living in that sort of victory of no challenges and no difficulties in their life? And obviously we know that's not the case. And actually, I don't get angry very often, but when I see some of these people on TV, I remember watching the God Channel a few years ago, and the way that they were talking about what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to know God, was that suddenly your bank account would be overflowing, and you would have the luxury lifestyle, the cars, a house, holidays. And this is how they were trying to sell us what it meant to know God, because he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he's able to provide for all of your needs. And those things are true. But actually, if we look at Jesus' life, and if we look at the life of the early Christians, we see a really challenging life. Some of them were in prison. Some of them were killed for their faith. But what we see in those moments is that because they were full of the Holy Spirit, actually they were able to face those things with a miraculous sense of peace and joy. Paul and Silas were imprisoned, and it was an amazing story, but they were singing, full of joy in the Holy Spirit, sharing the amazing good news with the prisoners that they were in jail with. And it wasn't maybe a nice, cozy 3 square meals a day in a TV in your room type prison. It would have been a pretty dark and dank and miserable, disease-ridden, horrendous place to be. But because of God living in them, they were able to face those things in a completely different attitude. And I think that's an incredible thing. That is a witness to God, that actually people can face difficulties in a different way. And I'm sure for many of us it isn't prison, but I know there'll be many people whose family members, if not themselves, are facing real difficulties at the moment through illness, through mental health, through family and friends going through all sorts of difficulties. And actually, the promise of God is that the Holy Spirit can do a miracle in our hearts and give us the power to face those things with a different perspective. The Bible says, doesn't it, in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Would we prefer to have a life shielded from every sort of pain and difficulty? Yeah, I'm sure we'd all choose that if we could. But actually, that isn't the way that God has designed things. God has decided to give us access to a power that can overcome difficulties rather than just avoid them. So what do we need? Well, the promise is there for us, that we can be full of the Holy Spirit, not because we've earned it, but because it is God's gift to us. I remember an illustration that Charles Price uses quite often, and he talks about two laws, if you like, There's a law of gravity, which is very helpful for us all and keeps us all rooted to the ground. But it's not so helpful if we were wanting to fly somewhere. But actually, the law of aerodynamics can overcome the law of gravity. And if we get into a plane, then the law of aerodynamics will lift us away from the law of gravity and get us to our destination. Not because we ourselves can flap hard enough or get ourselves there, but actually we can get into the plane. Within Christ Jesus, we have the power to overcome what the Bible calls the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And actually, living that life with the Holy Spirit, living that life in Christ Jesus, can overcome the law of sin and death. We've been set free from that. Not because we no longer experience sin in our lives, although that's a promise that one day that will be true. But the power of sin has been broken in our lives. Whilst we will make mistakes, we no longer are bound by that course to have to make mistakes. And that is an incredible thing, a daily challenge for us to live our lives by the Spirit and not by the law. The purpose, though, for which we have the Holy Spirit is not just to help us to overcome difficulties and challenges in our life. It's not just to help us to face with joy circumstances that otherwise would be extremely challenging. But it's that we might be, amongst many other things, witnesses, people who live lives that show what God is like. Again, not because we are good enough, not because we can follow more rules and we can do more right things, but because we can overflow with the very character of God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your paths." And that's been a really helpful verse for me throughout my life. But it's about acknowledging God in all our ways sometimes. Not necessarily forcing the gospel down people's throats in a way that makes them really not think that they want very much to do with that sort of God. If you're just going to talk to me about, you know, sin and, you know, the consequences of my sin, whilst those things are true. But it's about witnessing to God, acknowledging God all the time and demonstrating to people, well, what does that look like? What is the good news? What does that look like? So that when we share it with them, they're actually wanting to know what that truth is, because they've seen it lived out in our lives. I'm sure there is a place for street preaching and just putting opportunities out there for people that we do not know. But most of us, I believe, God has called to witness to the people that he has put around us, our neighbours, our family, the people we work with each day. And actually, that can be more challenging sometimes than talking to a complete stranger. At least that's my experience. But actually, if we acknowledge God, if we're real and open with people about our lives and what it means to us to have that hope in Christ, then actually people will be warm to hearing more about what it means to follow Jesus. I don't want to say too much more, because I think actually we can overcomplicate things sometimes, and it can be quite simple. I think when I think, is it the 90% of the Bible that I do think I understand what it means generally that I have a problem with following each day? Or is it the 10% that I don't understand that's a bit obscure and unusual that actually I need to worry about? And actually, you know, the Bible is pretty clear. You know, love God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. And that sums up the whole of the Old Testament, Jesus said. So that's a pretty good start if you're not really sure, you know, what to read or do. It doesn't have to be massively complicated. The challenge is putting it into practice, isn't it? You know, that's the challenge for us. And actually, the Bible here is very clear. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you have a power not of your own making, which God wants to give to us, to enable us to live our lives in a way that will bear witness to God's goodness and God's love. And actually, I think too often I've spent more time worrying about, am I doing the right thing? Do I have enough knowledge? Do I have the right strategies? Do I have, am I in the right place with the right people doing the right things? And not enough time actually surrendering before God and saying to him, look, God, I can't do this. I can't live this life by myself. I'm not worthy or able to. But I know that you want to give me your Holy Spirit to fill me up full of you, that I might overflow, and that out of what God is pouring into us each day, we can overflow. And, you know, my dad is always a source of inspiration for me. Can say that. Hopefully I'll listen to this online and hear it, as he's not here today. But he just started praying in his retirement, I think. Someone encouraged him just to pray a simple prayer each day. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, it's not a complicated prayer. There's nothing fancy to it. But actually, if each of us just opened up ourselves each day and said, just come, Holy Spirit. You know, I'm open to you. I'm not going to put too many restrictions on what it is that you want to do through me today. But I believe that as I go about my business and all the things, that you'll bring me into contact with people where actually the Holy Spirit, through a kind word or an action or an opportunity, will open up something amazing. So we're going to just pray, and then I'm going to put a video on, hopefully, give the guys at the back a chance to cue that up. I think I've shown it here before several years ago, and it's just a song by a band of what it meant for them to show God's love and to witness to God's love. So in terms of application, you can pray during these few minutes of this song, and I'll close with a prayer also. You know, what does it mean for you this week to give that room to being full of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you might have power to live the life that God wants for you, to bring his kingdom, a kingdom of love? Thank you. I would sing it for you, but I don't think you want that. Nearly there. We practiced and everything, didn't we, guys, before the service? So we just need a bit of sound now. It did work earlier on. Oh, nearly. I can hear something very quietly. Does it need turning up?
He is running.
Thank you.
100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. She is trying, but the canyon's ever widening in the depths of her cold heart. So she sets out on another misadventure just to find. She's another 2 years older, and she's three more steps behind. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for the hope Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? She is yearning for shelter and affection that she never found at home. And she is searching for a hero to ride in, to ride in and save the day. And in walks a Prince Charming. If lofty glances from lofty people, they can't see past a scarlet letter, and we've never even met her. If judgment looms under every steeple, if lofty glances from lofty people can't see past a scarlet letter.
Father God, we pray that this week, even today, we would be open to your Holy Spirit in our life, filling us up with you, that we might have the power to live the life that you have called us to, that we might not live in judgment on others, but that we might live welcoming and open lives that show people your love. God, we pray that you would give us wisdom to know the words to say, to have the right timing, just to be there when people really need us, and that we might be your example of love to them. God, help us to have knowledge, yes, to understand, yes, but to live lives full of you and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Our service has now ended, and I want to thank you again, each one of you, for joining in with us this morning. I don't know about you, but certainly this video was very touching and a reminder of our purpose in having the Holy Spirit living in us. So I pray, as Dan's prayed already, that this week we will let the Holy Spirit guide us in our decisions, in the people that we speak to, that we will be good witnesses. So have a good week, each one of you, and may God bless you. Actually, can we say the grace together? That would be good before we finish. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.